Good morning and welcome to the chat on Newsday Amarillo and News Channel 10-2. I'm David Lovejoy.
Good morning, I'm Megan Collier.
And I'm .999 fine, Chuck Williams, Chuckalicious.
And we're joined today by Dr. Gary Seal. May is Stroke Awareness Month, and surprisingly, risk of stroke in young people has been highlighted after a model, Hailey Bieber, was hospitalized early this year with a mini stroke. It is a remarkable and an amazing thing of the number of young people who are affected by this disease, this happenstance. And Dr. Seal's going to talk about this during the Awareness Month. Dr. Seal, welcome to the chat.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Anytime, sir. My first question, I want to know, they say the numbers for young people having strokes has gone up, has risen. Is there any contributing factor to this issue?
Yeah, certainly there are, and you're correct. The numbers are rising. Right now, about 15% of all strokes occur in people ages 18 to 54. And unfortunately, many of those are risk factors or lifestyle or health habits that lead to obesity, hypertension, diabetes. But there are also medical conditions, clotting factor disorders, heart arrhythmias that can cause stroke. And then, unfortunately, drug misuse, alcohol misuse can also lead to stroke.
I mean, Hailey Bieber certainly wasn't a person who had obesity or suffers from obesity or anything. So obviously, those sorts of, health conditions probably are impactful in that space, right?
Correct. She had a condition called patent foramen oval, and that is an opening in the heart. This opening in the heart between the chambers usually closes shortly after birth, but this opening remains there for about 25% of people, and it can cause a clot. And a clot can then block a blood vessel in the brain, causing that area of the brain to be robbed of oxygen and nutrients, causing a stroke. So hers was a PTO, which is a medical condition, caused her stroke.
If I could just ask another question. So how do we know if we're a young person and we have a situation like that? Are there any signs or symptoms that we can look out for?
Absolutely. There's an acronym called BEFAST. BEFAST, and B stands for balance. So some young people can experience sudden changes in balance. E stands for eyesight. People can have changes in eyesight or actually lose eyesight for a moment. F stands for face. Oftentimes we'll see weakness on one side of the body. So one of the tests is to ask a person to smile. And if we see facial asymmetry, that can be a sign of stroke. A stands for arms. Ask people to lift their arms in the air. If they have difficulty doing that, again, we'll see weakness on one side. And S stands for speech. Oftentimes, speech can be impaired, garbled, slurred. And the last letter, T, stands for time. Because if people notice the signs and symptoms of stroke and can get that person to a hospital within about 3 hours, there are medications that can be deployed to break up a clot.
Doc, I understand a stroke is, excuse me, just like a short circuit of the body. Does that sum it up, or is that even halfway correct?
Well, there are a couple of major types of strokes. One is called ischemic, and so there is a clot, either a blood clot or a piece of plaque that can break off from inside of an artery and clog an artery in the brain. So again, that if that blood vessel is blocked, that area of the brain is not receiving the oxygen and nutrients it needs to function. The other type of stroke, and let me back up, ischemic strokes occur in about 85% of all cases. So it's the most common type of stroke. About 15% of people experience what we call hemorrhagic stroke, and that's due to a blood vessel bursting in the brain due to an aneurysm or other cardiovascular issue.
Doctor, the Center for Neuroskills in Dallas, CNS, has had some success dealing with especially younger patients being treated for stroke. What's different between, let's say, we spoke about this earlier, my aunt having a stroke at 81 and someone 24, 25, is the process of rehabilitation a different pathway?
In some aspects, it is, particularly when we think about outcome, right? So a younger person is likely engaged in school, or they've just entered the workforce and they're working on their career. Perhaps they're just entering into relationships, marriage or dating, driving, those kinds of things. So the outcome goals or the endpoint of rehabilitation may be different for a younger person than an older person, but the approach, the therapeutic approach, is very similar. Intensity of service, therapies that promote neuroplasticity or reorganization of the brain, using what we call experience-dependent learning and a neurodevelopmental approach, are all parts of a rehabilitation program that can help a younger person perhaps return to work, driving, or school.
I worked with a meteorologist early in my career. She's very young, mm-hmm. very healthy, very fit.
I remember.
And
this.
She left Amarillo, went to Los Angeles, and she was very public about this. But she was at home at her apartment alone in Los Angeles and had a stroke, I think, in her, like, she was in the bathroom or in the shower or something like that. And honestly, I mean, we were all just so shocked. How could this be? How could this happen? But she did. She went through the rehabilitation and was completely, as far as mm-hmm. publicly she talked about it, she was perfectly fine. But it was such an eye-opening thing to see her go through that struggle, because she was, as I said, one of the healthiest people I've ever known in my entire life, mm-hmm. you know? And it's so interesting, and you just don't even think about that. You know, I think a lot of people don't even think that could even be a possibility.
You know,
right.
At a certain age, we think we're bulletproof anyway. You know, it's
right.
Nothing's going to affect us. And, Doctor, you brought up some points. Some of the main suspects we see in other issues of our health in this country, bad eating habits, eating the wrong type of foods, not getting rest. And one of my things is, especially with men, we don't go to the doctor. We don't get checked out. How does that play into this rise in the younger people? Is a diet and alcohol and drugs, all these are major players, aren't they?
They are major players. And I think in terms of stroke prevention, eating, moving, sleeping, if we can be intentional about getting good quality sleep, you know, that good REM restorative sleep is when our body heals and when we consolidate memories. And, you know, we really don't pay attention to sleep, but it really is a factor in our overall health and certainly in stroke. So trying to get 6 or 7 good hours of sleep, moving. And you don't have to go to the gym and be an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Walking 40, 45 minutes briskly every day will help. And then being really intentional about what we put in our bodies, right? Healthy food, try to eat more fruits and vegetables, hydrate. And then again, try to limit the alcohol intake. Smoking, again, is a big risk factor for stroke. So, you know, and also maybe get some assistance. You know, if this self-management thing, if it were easy, we'd all be skinny and rich, right? So get some help, partner up with somebody to live a healthier lifestyle.
You know, Doc, you just mentioned everything what not to do that I do anyway. So I guess I'm on the high end of the stroke factor, you know. But when you talk about exercise, can you ever do too much exercise that could throw you into a stroke, if you will?
I don't know that I've ever heard of someone sustaining a stroke because they exercise too much. Some supplements that people take mm-hmm. Along with their exercise have been associated with stroke. But any exercise that's good for your heart is also good for your brain. So a good cardio workout is helpful. Again, even just brisk walking can be beneficial.
It's funny, the things that grandma yelled at you about are the things that could save your life. Eating right, getting some rest, and you know, and getting out and getting some exercise. Those are some of the key factors that can help you. But during National Stroke Awareness Month, the Center for NeuroSkills is highlighting some patients that have recovered. And this is the thing I noticed in this, doctor. There's no age, race, sex, wealth level that equals the playing field when it comes to this, does it?
Right. It affects all of us. We are all in some degree at risk. And so, you know, information is power. Right. So knowing the risk factors, knowing what the signs and symptoms are, like as you mentioned earlier, you know, go to your doc and get checked out. Keep your blood pressure, your blood sugar, you know, those things in check. Know your numbers and take care of yourself. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the key, taking care of yourself. Well, Dr. Seale, thank you so much for visiting with us today. Some great notes to take heart to. You can find a link on our website. You can see some of these stories of a 36-year-old woman from Midland who is recovering from a stroke. A doctor, successful in his career, everything's going great. Stroke took him down. It doesn't, you know, you can't say, well, I'm not in that factor. Everyone's in that range right now. And those factors of lack of sleep, all of us do it, well, mainly me, bad diets, and just monitoring your health are key factors in keeping you healthy. Dr. Seale, once again, thank you for being on the chat this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.